listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Lots of women's magazines use phrases like bikini body or drop two sizes on their covers and their articles. But in 2016, Women's Health magazine vowed they won't use those what are often seen as body-shaming phrases on their covers.
In a letter to readers, the editor-in-chief, Amy Keller Laird, announced the magazine's resolution to ban bikini body and the phrase drop two sizes on the covers. They surveyed readers about what terms they would like and would not like to see on the cover, and reader favorites were the words strong and toned and sexy, but the most hated phrases were bikini body and drop two sizes. Shrink and diet also made the list, but Women's Health already banned those words in the last year.
We want to hear from you. Do you think banning phrases like these goes far enough? Does it make a difference? Does the presence of those pictures, those phrases on magazines send a bad message about body image here in the United States? What would you like to see change, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Abigail Segui joins us now to talk about body shaming in the media. She's a professor of sociology and of gender studies at UCLA, and she's the author of What's Wrong with Fat. Abigail, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So how did this all come about, that Women's Health decided it was not going to use these words anymore? How did that happen?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the shaming images that the fashion media promote, a particular emphasis on body size and the need to be thin. And so this seems to me an effort to respond to those critiques and to present messages that are more positive and less shaming.
And as I understand it, Women's Health in particular may have had a reputation for focusing not so much on the health and more on the appearance of women.
Right. I mean, Women's Health is not alone in this. If you look at any magazine aisle of magazines targeted to women, there is an emphasis on beauty, and thinness is often taken as synonymous of beauty, which is very particular to this time and place, right? There's other ways of understanding beauty in which it would include a broader diversity of bodies. But I think because Women's Health has the term health, right, there's more of an expectation that the magazine should, in fact, be promoting health as opposed to just image, in which often is not consistent with good health. You know, people, the ways in which people try to lose weight include very unhealthy techniques.
Do you have any sense about how often phrases like those pop up in women's magazines in, say, a given year?
You know, I haven't counted for a given year, but in my informal look at women's magazines, they're just ubiquitous. I mean, they're in constantly, all the time. I think that's the main thing that women's magazines are selling is fat shaming and fat and body's insecurities and really counting on the fact that women's insecurities about their body and desire to change their bodies to achieve something different is going to lead them to purchase the magazine and you know, try to find a secret within those covers to losing weight and resembling the models that they see in these magazines and on billboards.
Well, it's an interesting thing because you've got the results of this survey saying readers didn't want to hear the phrase bikini body ever again or drop two sizes ever again. And yet, you know, these are women who read women's magazines, I presume anyway. So if they're buying them and reading them,
right,
you think that's what they want to see?
Right. Well, you know, I mean, we humans are full of contradictions, internal contradictions. And so I think it may be that, you know, we live in a society that is saturated. We're told all of the time, you know, men as well, but especially women, that women only have value if they're beautiful and our image of beauty at this particular time in history is so narrow. I mean, you have to be so excruciatingly thin and, of course, young. And so, you know, it's hard to escape that and not to be drawn into a promise, even if it's an empty promise, of achieving that look. But then perhaps once the women read, I mean, there are studies that show that reading these magazines leads women to feel badly about themselves. And so they may be having both experiences, an initial desire, oh, maybe this is the secret, this is going to allow me to achieve that bikini body by, you know, impulse by the magazine, but then notice that as they're reading this, they're feeling depressed, they're feeling bad about themselves. And so, you know, so both are going on.
We're talking to Abigail Segee right now from UCLA about news that Women's Health magazine is going to be banning some phrases from its covers in 2016, saying that they have a negative effect on their self-image. Words like bikini body, that one's gone, and so is drop two sizes. That's another phrase. Let's talk a little bit more about what we know about the effects of media on women and girls. What do we know about how this affects how women and girls see themselves and relate to their own bodies?
Well, there are several studies that have shown that reading, being exposed to these images, make women and girls feel badly about themselves. And related to this, I've actually done some of my own research with psychologist David Frederick. We have several studies in which we also look at the effect of reading news media reports on the so-called obesity epidemic. And we find, interestingly, that after reading such an article, people are more likely to express anti-fat stigma or think it's okay to discriminate against people on the basis of body size. So there is a real documented effects, negative effects of these images, whether they, these messages, whether they come in the form of images or in news media discussions about obesity, you know, that have very negative effects.
We've been talking mostly about women in this case, but studies have found that gay men are also very affected.
Yes, and so actually, gay men have higher, some studies suggest higher rates of body image dissatisfaction and higher rates of eating disorder. And so, you know, this is important, but because it reminds us that gender is never just about gender, right? That people's experience as women or as men intersects with their other experiences. Race is very important. Class, social class, and in this particular case, sexual orientation really mediates, affects the impact of these images on men or women. And so gay men, like heterosexual women, are subject to what scholars call the male gaze, right? They're trying to be physically attractive to other men. And that seems to be really what matters in terms of predicting these body image problems and eating disorders. So, in fact, we also know that lesbians are less likely, show lower incidence compared to heterosexual women of body image dissatisfaction and eating disorders.
When we look about how much media we consume each day and how many representations of, you know, body image perfection that we see in a day, can you give us a sense how often we run across things like this that might make us feel a certain way about our bodies?
Oh, I mean, it is just so omnipresent. It's everywhere. I mean, we see this in the magazines. Certainly women's magazines are just loaded with discussions of weight loss. And even beyond discussions of weight loss, the models who feature in advertisements, in the articles, are uniformly very, very thin. I mean, this is just so non-representative of the bodies that are actually out there in the world. The same thing if you turn on the television, you look at sitcoms. I mean, there is just not, these images are not diverse in many ways. They're not diverse in terms of race, as my colleague Darnell Hunt talks about in his work, and they're not diverse in terms of body size. And so the image, the impression that people get is that to be beautiful, in fact, to be acceptable, to be visible, one has to be very thin. And this is particularly the case for women. Men also are increasingly bombarded by images of very toned and muscular men, and that puts pressure on men. But they don't live in a world this is different for gay men, but heterosexual men don't live in a world in which they are judged so overwhelmingly by their appearance, and that in which their physical appearance is just so integral to their self-worth as it is for women.
If you were very determined and you set out to only consume the media that would nurture you, that would make you feel body positive or at least not body shamed, is it possible even to do that? Could you go find the magazines and the television shows and get through a day?
No, that's a really excellent question. And I would love, I know you're going to turn to listeners in a moment, I would love to hear their responses to that. My own strategies have simply been to avoid magazines, certainly the fashion magazines. But I would be really interested to hear from others if there are certain magazines that they find really affirming.
Well, we're talking right now with Abigail Segee from UCLA, talking about news that Women's Health Magazine is going to be banning new phrases from its covers that readers say have a negative effect on their self-image, their body image, phrases like bikini body.
We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. As they were just talking about, have you changed your media diet? Where do you go to avoid these kind of images? What kind of images do you see out there? How do they affect you, people in your family, magazines, movies, TV ads, and all of that? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our discussion now about body shaming in the media with our guest, Abigail Segee. She's a professor of sociology and gender studies at UCLA.
We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you see this body shaming, this fat shaming in the media, particularly directed at women? Where do you see it? Do you try to avoid it? Do you try to keep it from your kids? How has it affected you? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Nick on the line in Milwaukee. Nick, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Great, great. Hey, the reason why I'm calling is because I'm curious about this study, considering that a huge portion of our country is overweight and obese. I see it all the time. I understand what you're saying, and I understand that in the past there was like this skinny motif, and I see it going away. But with the majority of people being so overweight and obese and child obesity being so strong, is this really a concern?
All right. Nick, thank you for that call. And Nick's saying, yeah, this is a real problem. People are overweight, and maybe magazines talking about it, about slimming down, is not such a bad thing. What do you think, Abigail?
Right. So there's a lot of people believe that emphasizing weight loss is a way to emphasize health. And in fact, studies show that this is not quite as obvious. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that people with the lowest mortality rate are in the so-called overweight but not obese category. But more to the point, that there's a lot of ways that people can improve their health without losing weight, and that many of the ways that people try to lose weight are actually quite unhealthy. You know, the most diets work. The problem is they work for a short period of time, and then people gain back typically. 90-95% of people who lose weight on a weight loss diet typically gain everything back, and often more than they lost. And so what you're often doing unintentionally is encouraging what researchers call weight cycling or yo-yo dieting. And there's a lot of evidence that this is really unhealthy. So that's one thing. But the other question is the impact that these kinds of messages have on stigma and self-esteem. And so what is the effect of telling someone you're too fat, you're disgusting, you're unacceptable the way you are? Studies actually show that this rarely leads to positive health behaviors, that feeling shame is more likely to lead to overeating and not exercising and an isolation, things that have really negative effects on health. So an alternative is to say, you know, your body is wonderful. You should treasure and take care of your body and learn to improve your diet and exercise, but from a place of love and nurturing rather than from a place of shame.
Well, Nick, thanks a lot for the call as we talk with Abigail Segui right now about news that the magazine Women's Health is going to ban some words that its readers did not want to hear anymore. Words like bikini body and drop two sizes, phrases like that that made people feel bad about their bodies. And we're going to go now to Tadia in Appleton. Hi, Tadia.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. Abigail, I'm wondering, from your research and studies that you've done, is there any evidence that shows that your age has any influence on how much you're impacted by body shaming on the cover of magazines? I do believe it's there. I see it every visit to the grocery store or when I'm out doing shopping. But at this point in my life and at the age I'm at, I kind of ignore them from some point going forward.
All right. Tadia, thanks for that. Are certain populations' ages more vulnerable, Abigail?
I think that's an excellent question, and there is, I haven't seen a definitive answer on this. I have seen some studies that look at it and are consistent with what you're suggesting, that people who are younger are more vulnerable, and that some people will, with age, will develop a bit more critical distance and other sources of confidence so that they're not quite as vulnerable. But you know, there are older people who continue to really suffer from body image problems and eating disorders as well. There's some evidence that that certain racial groups are more or less likely or more or less protected, and so there's some evidence that African American women are less vulnerable to body image problems and eating disorders, although there's some debate about whether that's actually true or it's just that those cases are less likely to be reported. But some people argue that it is a real difference, and it's because African American girls and women learn to be more skeptical and have more critical distance from mainstream messages because of racism, or that they have other positive models of beauty that they learn, for instance, at church, which is more about having your own style and making it work for you. So there certainly are some demographic differences in people's vulnerability to these things.
Tadia, thank you so much for that call. We're going to go next to Thomas in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Thomas.
Hello. Thank you very much for discussing this topic on air.
Sure. What did you want to add?
Well, I would like to preface my question with I am a gay man, and I do understand very well that how well this can apply to gay men as well as women. With that said, I actually also own three gyms, and this time of year I see so many people looking to lose weight or make their health or fitness goals, and I try my very hardest to make everybody able to meet their goals. How do I make my gym a place that is encouraging and supportive and not body shaming? How do I make the forward encouragement without the negative impacts?
Oh, what a great question, Thomas. Thank you so
much. Yeah, it's a wonderful question. Thank you for that excellent question. So I think, you know, exercise is wonderful, and there are all sorts of positive health benefits that come directly from exercise. And so I think the key is to focus on those and not make it about weight loss. And so, I am a yoga enthusiast and a Pilates enthusiast. I love, you know, I bike, but what really annoys me, and I don't hear it very much in my own yoga studio, but to say, oh, you know, we're going to do this exercise to get the tone abs or the bikini body. Those are the kinds of things to avoid, I would say. And instead, you know, we're going to strengthen our abs so that we don't have back problems. You know, we're going to strengthen our abs so that we, you know, have a nice erect spine and we can do stuff. And we're going to avoid physical discomfort that comes from not being strong. And we're going to, you know, do these exercises and strengthen our heart so that we reduce our likelihood of heart attack or, you know, other illnesses. So to keep the focus on, or you know, that we can sleep better, to relieve stress, all of these wonderful health benefits. And I think, you know, the added benefit of that emphasis is that if people come to your gym, as they often do in January, maybe all through February, and they don't lose weight, maybe you'll still see them in March because you've been emphasizing the benefits that they are getting, even if they're not losing weight.
Well, Thomas, thank you for that. And Abigail, thanks to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Abigail Segee, professor of sociology and gender studies at UCLA, and she's the author of the book, What's Wrong with Fat?